The National Women's Safety Summit gets underway today with financial abuse, coercive control and violence against First Nations women among the key issues on the agenda. The two-day summit will form part of the consultation process for the second national plan to reduce violence against women and their children. But there's some disappointment about the lack of focus on housing at this summit. Housing was originally missing from the summit agenda altogether. Cathy Van Extel has more.
Sydney woman Tali Starr endured 6 years of abuse before leaving her husband.
When we got married, about 6 months into the relationship was when I realised, hang on, this is not okay, there's something wrong here, and that's when I first attempted to leave. And then there were probably another up to about five, six times before I finally said, I'm done. A big part was around finance and housing because I have disabilities. So where was I going to be able to afford to live? How was I going to be able to afford to pay for rent?
Her husband left the house, but when Tali Starr applied for Centrelink support, her landlord raised the rent by $100 a week.
So there was no way I could afford the rent. I wasn't able to find somewhere else, which then meant I ended up homeless and trying to find places to live basically for the next 5 years.
What did homelessness look like for you?
It was finding a bed in anybody's house that could give it to me. So I guess we describe that as couch surfing because there's no rental properties to afford. There's no housing properties to get into. You end up on a list for years.
So what was the turning point for you?
I was about to be homeless for the fourth time and housing finally found a suitable property for me.
Domestic and family violence is the number one cause of homelessness in Australia. Kate Colvin from the Everybody's Home campaign says housing is a critical issue.
So many women have a low income, particularly after they've had an experience of violence, and simply can't afford rental in the private rental sector. They come to homelessness services and homelessness services don't have access to housing to put women into. And so women get stuck in a situation where they're homeless. And in that circumstance, many women actually feel like the best option is to return to a violent home, which puts them at risk and often their children as well.
Around the country, women's refuges are full. Annabelle Daniel is CEO of New South Wales Community Shelters.
Each night we have around 140 women and children who have sought safety and support. Somewhere between 1 in 2 and 1 in 3 women who seek crisis accommodation support are being turned away. And those are just the ones that find their way to ask for help. We also know that there are plenty of women out there who self-manage or to figure out solutions through this crisis by potentially, you know, couch surfing or sleeping in their cars or otherwise staying with friends.
With women's services struggling to find longer-term options, Kate Colvin says thousands of women are returning to abusive situations.
In 2019-20, there was more than 66,000 people who'd experienced domestic and family violence who came to homelessness services saying, I desperately need accommodation. Only 1,200 of those were actually able to be provided with long-term housing. Most were just able to be provided with short-term accommodation, and 18,000 weren't provided with any accommodation at all. The system is sort of jammed. There's women going into short-term housing, which is often just a few nights in a motel. The estimates are that more than 7,000 women are returning to perpetrators of violence simply because they've got nowhere to go.
Initially, housing wasn't on the agenda of the National Women's Safety Summit. After heavy lobbying, a housing speaker was a last-minute inclusion in a discussion on economic security. Tali Starr, who works as a DV consultant, has this message for the federal government.
I think I want to say, wake up. If we value the safety of women and children and other victims of domestic and family violence, then we need to provide housing and we need to take it seriously. And the fact that it is not a focus at this summit has shown that it really is not on the agenda of the government.
Housing is a particularly critical issue for First Nations women and children. Kylie Cripps from the University of New South Wales is a Palawa woman who extensively researched family violence with Indigenous communities.
The reality for many Indigenous women, as well as many women more broadly, is that shelters are at capacity. And then ultimately, if the police become involved, then there's a mandatory report and then child protection is going to be coming involved. So for women, there's a huge range of risks involved here. Not only is it involving injury to themselves, an injury potentially, an exposure to violence for their children, but it also involves a significant risk in terms of losing their children ultimately.
The two-day summit is a precursor to the next national plan to reduce violence against women and children. The federal government insists housing is a state issue, but women's services don't accept that. Kylie Cripps says the plan must include action on housing.
It's not okay to keep passing the buck. This needs to be addressed now, particularly if it's going to affect our generations moving forward. We've seen the harm of children being removed from their families. Isn't it about time we learned from that?
Kate Colvin from Everybody's Home wants housing to be at the core of the national plan.
And have a major commitment to new social housing so that women and children have a safe home that they can flee to.
What conversations are happening around that?
There have been some conversations with Senator Rustin, who's the Minister responsible for women's safety, but the Minister responsible for housing, Michael Sukkar, has been sort of less open to conversations and simply says that this is the responsibility of the state, which is not at all accurate. This is a shared responsibility. It's the federal government that has the fiscal firepower to really make a difference in this space. I mean, we're talking about a need for almost 17,000 new social housing properties a year, and that's a $7.6 billion commitment.
So how useful are these conversations that will be held over the next couple of days at this summit if housing isn't being addressed?
Look, if we end up with a national plan that doesn't have housing in it, I mean, I'd have to say that would be a national plan that would respond to the violence being experienced only by wealthy women.
During the COVID pandemic, demand for domestic violence services has soared. Annabelle Daniels says women's shelters are bracing for even greater demand when the current lockdowns lift.
What we know from experience last year is that when lockdowns actually end and community transmission starts to go down, more women and children actually reach out for help and seek our services at that point. And what we also know from last year's experience was that the intensity of domestic and family violence and abuse tends to increase during periods of isolation and lockdown. So we're expecting the demand on services and women putting their hands up to ask for help to actually increase over time.
Do you have confidence that there is federal government recognition of the critical role that housing plays in tackling domestic and family violence?
I'm very hopeful that that will be made very clear at this summit from a range of participants. We can't ignore that. We really need housing on the table in order to achieve the outcomes that we're looking for in solving domestic and family violence in Australia.
That's Annabelle Daniels, CEO of Women's Community Shelters, ending that report from Cathy Van Extel.